From sea to shining sea, this is Coast to Coast AM. My name is Rob Simone, filling in for George Norrie, who, fortunately, had a rather bizarre encounter or experience that actually caused him to not be quite up to the task of coming to you last night or tonight. He's okay, and he'll tell you about it tomorrow. And we're looking forward to his return. In the meantime, I want to tell you about what we have in store for you today. This show will cover two big areas. We're going to have William Henry come on in the second hour. We're going to talk about the Ark of the Covenant, his new book, his new DVD, which goes into it in a level and detail which I don't think has ever been done before. We're going to talk about this Ark of the Covenant as a Judgment Day device. And once again, he pulls all kinds of strings through history to reveal a different interpretation of a possible future. In the first hour, we'll be talking to Sonia Grace, and she's going to come on and talk to us about past lives. And she is someone who is a medium, someone who is an experiencer, someone who has great gifts, and she shares them. She has been doing it for quite a while, and her talents are many. She has what many people will call a second sight into a realm of humanity that is often misunderstood. But first, let's just briefly bring you up to date on some interesting developments that have happened today. As I was sitting home watching CNN, I heard something very curious. In the Cold War, the late 1950s, this has just come to light, recently declassified. There was a little program called A Study of Lunar Research Flights, also named Project A-119. And what they were investigating, along with Carl Sagan, who was on the team, this physicist named Leonard Riefel, was looking at the possibility of sending a nuclear device, or an atomic device at that point, to the moon and exploding it to show off our country's power and ability to destroy things. Believe it or not, this was a funded government project contemplating the idea of, well, blowing up the moon with a nuclear weapon. Crazy as it sounds, it's true. It was only after continued study that they decided not to do it. But who knows what was the ultimate factor in that decision. And as I was watching CNN listening to this with my jaw hanging on the floor, I heard something very interesting, that back then they considered the moon, quote, the new military high ground. And this is a phrase that I heard about a decade before on this program. If you remember back to an interview with Major Ed Dames, where he was talking about the moon and how he felt that there was laser weapons on there. And the reason why our government supposedly put them on the moon is because it's the new military high ground. If you have them in satellites, they're vulnerable to Earth-based rockets. So once again, I'm hearing a term that I heard a decade before, and it's bearing out that what he said had some pretty profound truth to it. Now, also in the news, and this is really pretty shocking. In fact, we're going to bring on Jeffrey Smith in a moment to talk about it, is this new report from the European Union. It turns out that they are saying that genetically modified foods are perfectly fine to eat. In fact, they rejected a study that links GM corn to cancer. Now, I don't know about you, but it sounds awful fishy. Let's go to Jeffrey Smith and get some more information. Jeffrey, of course, is the executive director for the Institute of Responsible Technology. Jeffrey, welcome to Coast to Coast.
Thank you.
Now, this sounds to me like it's a big whitewash.
Well, that's exactly what it is. There is a very, very comprehensive study that fed rats genetically modified Roundup Ready corn for 2 years. Normally the industry only does 90-day basically tobacco science studies where they used the wrong control group, et cetera, and rigged their research to avoid finding problems. So this French team decided to do real research, fed rats for 24 months, genetically modified Roundup-ready corn, and they had massive tumors, early death, and organ damage. It was such an indictment of these foods that Russia banned genetically modified corn within days. Kyrgyzstan did a few weeks later. Kenya wants to ban genetically modified foods altogether. But the European Food Safety Authority, which is manned by many people who are also on an association designed to promote biotechnology, these are genetic engineers who are very aligned with industry, ignored more than 200 scientists from 30 countries who backed this research as significant and powerful, and rejected it, claiming that it was not up to scientific standards. And yet it surpassed all of the industry research that was used to get the GM crops onto the market.
What does this say about the muscle behind these GM companies? How deep do they have their influences in politics and government?
I've spoken in 34 countries, and I consult with governments around the world, and what I've seen is a very, very shocking pattern of sometimes remarkable control, where typically Monsanto captures or controls and completely influences a particular ministry or minister from the government. In this case, in the United States, it's basically the entire federal government. When Vilsack, you know, was put into the Secretary of Agriculture position, he was the biotech governor of the year in Iowa in 2001. Now he's in charge of the United States Department of Agriculture. When he was going to do a partial deregulation of Monsanto's Roundup Ready alfalfa, that wasn't good enough. So phone calls into the White House, supposedly from Bill Gates and George Soros, which invest in Monsanto, caused the White House to tell the USDA, no, don't do a partial deregulation. We want it completely deregulated so it can contaminate the non-GM alfalfa. So the White House, the current White House, has been worse than the Bush administration, but it happens. It goes all over the world, and fortunately, there are some countries that are waking up and standing up to the biotech industry and to the U.S. government. Even though WikiLeaks talks about how U.S. State Department ambassadors, for example, have asked Washington to draw up a retaliation list against European countries to, quote, cause some pain for those that are resisting biotechnology, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, recently, Prop 37 tried to make a go of it. Tell us what happened there.
Well, Prop 37 would have required labeling of GMOs in California, which is already required in 61 countries. Now, it lost 52-48, but it wasn't really a referendum on labeling. It was an acceptance by the voters of a misinformation or a disinformation story that was put out in more than $1 million a day in advertising and direct mail. And they told Californians that Prop 37 was written by trial lawyers to create shakedown lawsuits, that it was written poorly by special interests, that it was going to cost people hundreds of dollars a year, et cetera, et cetera. This whole story that confused people and caused people to vote against their best self-interest. And it's another example of what the biotech industry is really good at. Their entire foundation of biotechnology in food is based on deception and disinformation, hearkening back to the very FDA policy, which falsely claimed that the agency wasn't aware of information showing that GMOs were different. And the person in charge of policy, of course, was Michael Taylor, Monsanto's former attorney, later Monsanto's vice president, and now the U.S. food safety czar back at the FDA. So it's an organization, it's an industry that's used to manipulating people using highly emotional and extremely false information, and that's why they were successful in the vote. But the good news is they were not successful on the overall landscape, because the campaign for Prop 37 raised the awareness of GMOs, and now there are 30 states that are going to be introducing either ballot initiatives or labeling bills. I think the labeling is inevitable, and I think already many people in the food industry are saying that the tipping point of consumer rejection is already upon us.
Yeah, it's good to keep a watch on this. Thanks for that report, Jeffrey. Jeffrey Smith, his website is seedsofdeception.com. Well, let's get rolling here. Right after the break, we're going to be joined by Sonia Grace. We're going to talk about past lives and even what is coming up on 2012. Stay tuned. You're listening to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast AM. Now, I was hosting this program last night, and we had, I think, a really stellar show about these black-eyed children. I got so many emails about it. If you missed it, you should really be a Coast Insider. Go to coasttocoastam.com and check it out. And a lot of people were, you know, telling me about their personal stories, about the things that they've experienced. And a lot of people told me they had trouble getting to sleep because they were so creeped out by it. And I have to say, that's a show that's going to stay with me for a while. There's nothing more creepy than strange children who may not be human. My many thanks for everyone who called in last night, especially. We had a really good time of it. And right now, let's turn our attention to our first hour guest. Sonia Grace is someone for over 30 years has been described as a mystic healer. She is a medium. She can contact people who have passed on. She does etheric clearing. She has the ability to transform energy, to sense auric fields, and she has worked extensively with animals. She has a way in which some people might call extra normal. Sonia Grace, welcome to Coast AM.
Hi, thanks, Rob, for having me.
Well, thank you for coming on. You know, I'm always fascinated by past lives because it seems to me if you added up all the belief systems on the planet today, more people would raise their hand than not if you asked them who believes in past lives. So the majority is spoken, right?
Absolutely. And you know, the thing about past lives is all of our lifetime right now that you experience, that I experience, that anybody here has as an experience is an accumulation of all of their past lives, because there's different bigger patterns that get repeated. So we might have emotional woundings from this lifetime, and we can identify that and say, yeah, I've got abandonment issues, or I feel like, you know, I was mistreated in this way and I was abused in this way, or whatever the emotional wounding is. But guaranteed, there are bigger patterns that draw much bigger circles to past lives with that particular wounding. And it becomes more of an energy, so that we can take a word like abandonment, and it's like a vibration. So the vibration of abandonment gets acted out and gets created in different lifetimes in different ways. It's certainly not, you know, expressed the same way each lifetime. You may be abandoned or the abandoner in, you know, in another life.
Yeah.
So it's huge to me in the work that I do with people. It's absolutely huge that people are given the opportunity to discover and understand what their past lives are.
Yeah. Now, people are always fascinated by people have this sort of abilities to see into different levels of our reality than most. How did it start for you?
You know, my earliest memory was 2 years old, and I used to, God only knows how, until I realized that what I was seeing next to me were my guides. But I used to, you know, back when I grew up, the cribs were really heavy, and I used to roll that crib across the floor by myself. Well, you couldn't possibly do that. Seriously, the crib was very heavy. And you know, my mom would say constantly, you know, I don't know how you did this. You got the crib clear across the room. And my guides were like moving the crib across the room, you know, and then it started in where I would see all of the Davic realm. I grew up playing in the woods. Thank God I was, you know, a total earth child growing up, and, you know, got to play outside. And you know, I used to see all the spirits in the woods. And then I really saw the spirit realm, and it was coming in from, you know, 5 years old on up until it got to be very unmanageable when I was a young person, teenager, young adult. You know, I used to see huge blocks of color on people's faces, auras. I was just seeing so much stuff about people. And I really didn't know how to manage all of the gifts of being able to see, smell, hear, and feel the spirit world. I just didn't know how to manage it. So I ended up in front of my first teacher, and she, thank God, gave me the structure, the basis, and, you know, the platform of integrity to work from.
Yeah. Well, you know, some people, a lot of people, have the feeling that they have maybe experienced some things for themselves. I mean, let's face it, everyone's had deja vu. Everyone's had those strange dreams or premonition, women's intuition. Call it what you want, but everyone has had their own little experience. And I think a lot of times it scares them because they don't pursue it. They might experience it and say, huh, isn't that nice? What would you tell people who feel as though they have some sort of gift or some sort of ability to see beyond? How did they develop it?
You know, I have a really strong feeling about this, and that is that we, you know, right now as the human race, there are groups of people who have really been working for lifetimes on their spiritual connections, and there are other people who have not done their homework, and they've gotten sort of caught up in the cycle of the emotional experience of being in physical form. And so a lot of people are rushing to the finish line, like, oh my God, I got to get my spiritual act together because I'm feeling it at a very deep soul level that we're making a big transition right now. And so, you know, I was describing to a friend of mine earlier, the Venus flytrap of spirituality is that people are massively gathering all of this information, just they can't drink it fast enough. But people, a lot of people aren't doing the work. They're not doing the deeper inner, you know, alignment of the emotional, physical, mental, and spiritual bodies. And so they're gathering all this information, but they're not doing the work inside. And if I can say anything to people who have that sensitivity, which honest to God, I believe everybody does. I believe everybody has an intuition, men and women. I believe everybody has a sensitivity to being here in a physical body on Earth. But I feel that there are only certain people who are gifted in the way that I'm gifted, because it is my, you know, lifetime after lifetime of something that karmically I'm here to work out and to do. And so sometimes people find themselves feeling like, ooh, I have intuition, and I feel they're getting connected. They should be that way all the time. They should be definitely connected to source and using that intuition. Should they turn around and become healers and psychics and all this other stuff? No. I sometimes feel that there are certain things that are tools or ways of working that some people are not ready to handle, and they end up causing more problems or possibly injuring and hurting people rather than, you know, being their assignment.
Yeah. No, I think people tend to hold on to themselves too tightly.
Yes.
They hold on to their inner core. And if you hold on too tight, then things don't work. You have to have a little sort of breathing room and be able to let go. And once you unclench, for lack of a better term, there is, isn't there, a feeling that comes through you, right? Through your solar plexus. You just know when you're on your game. You just get that sort of invisible feeling.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, and it's enough just to help people through difficult times. I mean, if you are in that zone, then there shouldn't be any answer that you couldn't be able to come up with, or a situation where you might have been scared to death of. All of a sudden, who knows? Maybe you find a newfound confidence.
Well, it's really coming to the understanding that, first of all, we're living in the duality, and there's good and bad, and right and wrong, and hot and cold. You know, we're the universe is in the duality. No matter where you go, no matter what planet you visit, there is the duality. To me, the part that is being missed as people rush to the finish line for this, you know, ascension, enlightenment, the part that's being missed is it is not about jumping into one side or the other of the duality. It's not about jumping into the goodness and the, ooh, it feels so good side of the duality. I feel spiritually high. It's about, in my opinion, stepping back and being in the middle where you observe.
I love it. Hold it right there. We're talking with Sonia Grace, and when we come back, I'm going to ask her about the most profound past life regression she's ever done. And believe me, it's a doozy. This is Coast to Coast AM. My name is Rob Simone. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back. Yeah, welcome back to the program. This is where we start to look at the phenomenon of past lives. Now, I know some people might think, I don't know about all that. I'm having trouble just dealing with one life. Thank you very much. Not, you know, thousands of them. But again, it's something that the Buddhists base their entire way of life on. Hinduism, it's everywhere. And it's not just these very large scale religions. There are indigenous cultures that have embraced this idea. So let's take a look at this with Sonia Grace when we come back right after the break. Welcome back to Coast AM. We're talking with Sonia Grace about, among other things, past lives. She is someone who has been a mystic healer for over 30 years. And Sonia, just before the break, I alluded to a past life regression. What's the most profound one you've ever done?
Well, I want to say first, before I tell you, the difference between how I read past lives for people and how other people do them is some people regress the client. I actually have the ability, and, you know, God only knows why, and I believe it's a gift from God, where I literally watch the person's soul go up into the ethers, the spirit realm, and come back down to where their last incarnation was. And I literally am shown the lifetime, like the pertinent points of what happened, and particularly the karmic parts of it, like, oh, they died, they were beheaded, you know, that kind of thing. And the most, I work with a lot of people who call me about their children because their kids are struggling with something, or they keep talking about this reoccurring thing that the parents don't know anything about, and it happens to be a past life that they're recalling. This one young man whose mom called me to talk to her about him, he had a hearing loss in one ear, and they, you know, went the doctor route and had him checked out and stuff. But I looked at him on a karmic level, and it was wild. I mean, I had him on the phone with me, and it was like a wave just came over me, and my whole office, you know, like transformed into this hologram. I mean, it was just so intense, and I felt that, you know, like the wind blowing across my face, and I heard a horse galloping really fast, and all of a sudden when I you know, was able to see what was happening, this Native American was on horseback and just hauling across the plains, and all of a sudden just I heard the shot ring out of the air, and it hit this Native person right in the ear, above the ear, on the same side that this young man has this ear. And when I saw him slow motion fall to the ground, And you know, he died, I was able to look around, and it was Wounded Knee. He was a Native guy at Wounded Knee, and it was so powerful, because, you know, I went back and I did a whole karma clearing, again, of which I have the ability to do, and it's really, you know, this is like God's hands, not mine, and you know, he stopped wearing his hearing aid. It was so cool.
Wow, he had a hearing. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I've heard this before, where what happened to us in past lives, some parts of it can carry through. It's like we're carrying baggage from our past lives. Now, how do we know what is past life baggage and what is a consequence of our own actions?
Well, a lot of times, you know, people are really connecting with a place, or even people that they meet that seem really familiar, you know? I mean, how many people have said, I want to go to Italy, and they have no connection to Italy except they know they have to go, you know? Or you meet someone and you say, wow, I just really feel like I know this person, and it's really weird. It's like those are the little, you know, kind of messages that we get in our day-to-day lives, that we really are connected to those people and those places. But as far as the bigger patterns of past life stuff that needs to be cleared, you know, we can sit down and just, you know, journal what are the common themes in our lives. Okay, well, you know, I've got this thing where I'm constantly being left by people, or I've got this thing where I'm, you know, always feeling like my heart is being broken, you know, and then that stuff can be traced back into, like I said, much bigger patterns.
Mm. It sounds like everyone should at least spend some time thinking about their past lives. If, you know, not everyone can get regressed, obviously, but what can the average person do just in their own space?
Well, I think like I mentioned, you know, really connecting to those things that they feel, you know, just at that deeper level, like, oh my God, I just have this thing about mountains. You know, I've got this thing about Mount Everest. I've got this thing about, you know, where they feel connected, and explore those, because they're really, it's amazing the information that we are giving ourselves constantly through that inner compass. And what happens to so many people across the board is that inner compass gets broken when we're little kids because of some emotional wounding. I don't care how happy or how dysfunctional your family was. There are always points of some kind of emotional wounding that happens. It doesn't mean our parents are bad. It just means this is part of being in a human body. You know, and our homework is to feel our feelings. And those things get disconnected, so people stop feeling their feelings. And the whole purpose that we're here to sort of resolve our karma, that's why we're in physical form, is we keep coming back so that we can resolve our karmic threads to the past, is to forgive. And forgiveness is, you know, just like really, it's big on the other side. Every time a spirit or a relative of someone's family comes through, it is so important that they get some kind of forgiveness. Please forgive me. You know, there's always some kind of an I'm sorry that's usually coming through, because when they get over there and they're in that high, high state of love, they can see what happened and where they were, you know, maybe inappropriate or arrogant or mean or cruel or whatever they did. And they come back and they bug me because they want to say that they're sorry and get forgiveness from the person or the people that are still here.
Mm, yeah, forgiveness is really liberating, isn't it? I mean, it just, you shed this weight and this karmic baggage. Yeah.
Huge. It's huge. And I feel like it's a big component that's being missed by a lot of people, because we're so consumed. You know, I mean, technology and everything has us so consumed. And the very thing that we're here to do on Earth is to be the caretakers of this planet. And we've gone sideways on that. I mean, you know, we're at code red on water and air and the environment. And so many people are still walking around, driving their cars, you know, 10 feet above the Earth, not even realizing that we're at a critical point.
Mm. Well, the Earth has, I think, an immune system, just like our body. And when it gets a virus or something, it heats up, right? To get, like, we have a temperature. We get,
yep,
when we're
yep.
sick.
It's heating up.
And when we, you know, when we're, it throws things off, throws things up, like earthquakes and volcanoes. Maybe yeah. it's maybe we are the thing that the Earth is trying to get rid of.
We are.
Wow.
We're a really bad case of fleas right now, I'll tell you.
Something.
Yeah. I mean, I love humanity, but humanity, in my humble opinion, needs to really get on board with the whole reason we're here, to have the experience as divine particles of God in physical form, is to take care of this beautiful place that has a much higher consciousness and a soul and a being in this planet that is magnificent. Mm. I mean, when we're here, we're conduits, and that energy from the Earth comes up through our feet, and it comes down from the universe or God, and it meets in the middle at our hearts, and that's where the magic happens. That's where you ignite with the work that you do and all the discovery that you've made around the world. That's where I ignite from all the work that I do. It's like it's in the heart. That's where the two meet.
Yeah. Well, let's go back quickly to this past lives idea. Have you worked with many people who have died, near-death experiences, and do you see a commonality of what they tell you when they were on the other side for a few minutes?
You know, I have worked with some people who have had those experiences. I had one guy die in my arms at the gym. That was fun. And he came back, which was really much better. But, you know, I'm so talking to the spirit realm all day long that I don't, you know, I guess I'm in a place, Rob, where I've done this work for so long and I so trust everything that comes through to me. it's like the line blurs now, and what I get from the spirit realm and what people's experiences are become one.
Yeah.
If you understand it's yeah. You know.
Well, let me ask you one more question about this, then I'm going to ask you about the Mayan calendar.
Okay.
Because I'm hearing, and perhaps you are too, from a lot of people that they're tired of this 3D reality.
Yeah.
They're tired because they, like you and many others, know that there are these other levels of spirituality and consciousness and beingness, for lack of a better word. What would you say to people who have this trust in another dimension that they will ultimately go to, but just seem to be so tired of this 3D reality that they have to, you know, keep cleaning and working and all the mundane things that seem to get right. them down?
Right. Okay. So we have surgeons who do the surgeries on our bodies. We have plumbers who do the plumbing in your house. We have electricians. We have people who have their specialty. I am an energy person. I work with people's energy. And the biggest thing I've seen in all of this, recent time as we move out of the fourth world into the fifth, is people being tired, and we're being bombarded with solar flares and CMEs. All this stuff is going in and changing our DNA and all of the makeup of humanity and the earth. And it's really about the earth and what's changing in her. Mm. But we're going through this whole shift, and people do not, people are tired, but people are tired because of a whole lot of energy coming in from the universe. Mm. And people really need to remember that their energy needs to be maintained and taken care of as much as we go see the surgeon or the doctor or the chiropractor or the plumber, electrician, whoever we call, and we do as just an automatic given, should be the same for our energy, because it is huge. I mean, it is totally what maintains us here on Earth. And we have so not taken care of our energy fields, just as the Earth's energy field, we're all watching, is having problems.
You bring up some good points. I mean, 1,000 years ago, there was no electromagnetic grid. There were no cell phone towers. There wasn't all this pollution and GMO. We are literally being attacked on every level of our being. Air, wind, water, food. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we have to really sort of, protect ourselves in a way in which our forefathers didn't.
Yes. And I mean, there's so many different layers of stuff. I mean, we're all existing in different layers of the realms. There's this new fifth dimensional energy coming in. We've been in the fourth dimension. The Hopis call it the fourth world. We're moving into the fifth world. I believe we're moving into that fifth world as we speak. And the real final, we're there now, is December 21st. But it's going to lead us into, a decade of total change and transformation with the Earth. So I guess that takes us to the Mayan calendar.
Yeah, sure does. Well, no, this is where the shift is coming, and people are feeling it. People are anticipating it.
Yeah.
And what do you think is going to be the shift? Tell me about how the Earth perhaps is going to interact with our human physiology.
I believe that first of all, the end of the Mayan calendar is not the end of the world. That it is a shift in consciousness. It's a shift in dimensional experience. So yes, the fifth dimension moves in. We have a lighter feeling in the air. Everybody's a little bit more connected in terms of, getting back to that telepathic communication if they're really allowing themselves to tune in, and that there is a higher purpose. So the person who's selling real estate in the fourth dimension is just making a lot of money and just going, yeah, this is cool. This is great. I'm doing business. The person who sells real estate in the fifth dimension has to find the higher purpose spiritually as to why they're motivated and what they're doing in their lives. And I don't mean that they're going out and, doing some spiritual hoo-ha while they're selling a house. I'm talking about how they're walking their daily walk and how they're approaching life from a spiritual state of being. That we just are, because we are the spiritual beings that we're looking for. We just have to step into it and say, okay, I'm there, and now I'm going to go sell a lot of houses.
Yeah. Well, people are becoming more awake, and I'm wondering, with your gifts, you can sense things from people. You can see through them. When you look at television, look at these world leaders and see the presidents of various countries, do you get information about the manipulation that's going on?
And absolutely. I used to do this work for a really large corporation in New York, and it was all in the financial industry. And I cannot tell you how many reptilians were inside people's bodies in one particular bank. I mean, it was alarming. It was frightening. And then I started really looking into all of these different financial institutions and government institutions. And there were all kinds of alien beings. There were entities. There's people practicing black magic and voodoo all over the world trying to manipulate what it is they want.
Let me guess, Goldman Sachs.
Yeah. No. But I feel like that's the part, this is the component that people understand, you know, in indigenous cultures. When I go work on people out on the reservation, they understand. In fact, I have remarkable healings that take place when I work on people out there, because it's in their culture to have the faith and to believe that this is what can happen. You know, white culture does not get that. They're just busy being in their critical mind going, oh, you know, well, I'm going to have to get a second opinion. I talked to this person and they said blah, 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 blah. It's not like that with indigenous people. But, you know, it's already woven into their culture that they are going to work on a way that it's like when they do ceremony. It's a physical act, right? They do the ceremony. We see the ceremony happening. But everybody understands that the unseen, the magic, the beauty, and the healing is taking place because everybody trusts that it's there.
Mm.
That's what mainstream culture doesn't get. They're not trusting.
Mm. Well, the message is I think coming through louder and louder. Let's jump on the phones real quick. First time caller line. We got Sharon from Oakmont, Pennsylvania. Welcome to Coast to Coast.
Hi. Good evening. Thank you so much, Rob, Sonia.
Hi, Sharon.
I was wondering if Sonia would be able to give me some insight into her past life or whoever might be bugging her, but kind of getting this feeling in my gut that I might know her on a much deeper level. Do you feel that at all?
Are you saying that you might know me or that someone's bothering me? I didn't get what you were asking.
Yeah. Well, also that I might be bugged by people who might have passed away recently in my life, so...
Yeah. Well, you know, what I really see with you is that there are about three lifetimes in a row that take place both on the East Coast, but also in Europe. And these lifetimes were a time for you where you were, I keep getting you were left, and you were left by people. You were left alone. And there's a whole lot of stuff here that I could say to you that would be helpful, you know, for us to clear this, but I need more time. And so what I would like to say to you is when you connect with these things that bother you or that you feel like there's something bothering you that's unseen, there are connectors for you in these past lives that you can release by simply, you know, just say, I forgive you and release it. As far as people that are in your life right now that have recently passed, I do see some people standing here, but I'm being told that it's not the time to talk about it. So maybe we can talk afterwards.
Okay. How can I reach you?
Website. Go to my website and send me a message through contact, okay?
Thanks, Sharon. Yeah, we're going to get that out. In fact, we're just coming up to the end of it, but I wanted to ask you just briefly, you have a book called Earthways, A Healing mm-hmm. Medicine for the Soul, A Practical Guide for Ceremonies of the Earth.
Yes.
Tell us a little, just quickly, is this a way that people can connect to the earth? And I'm sure that alleviates some sort of physical maladies, right?
Yes, absolutely. It's prayers and ceremonies that people can do. And I made it a point to not... You know, I have so much respect for my native culture and for other native, you know, cultures out there. And I don't like seeing their toes stepped on because people want to take their ceremonies and, you know, do their own thing with it.
Yeah.
So I just created, you know, ceremonies that were given to me through, you know, a higher state and prayers. And it's a good way for people to reconnect with the earth.
Okay. Where can people find you online?
Sonja, S-O-N-J-A, Grace, G-R-A-C-E.com.
Thank you so much, Sonja, for joining us. This is Coast to Coast AM. When we come back, we'll be talking with William Henry about the Ark of the Covenant. Could it be a Judgment Day device? My name is Rob Simone. You're listening to Coast AM. Stay right there. We're coming right back.